tonight's message is, who is in your circle? Who is in your circle? Imagine this scenario, a young and innocent person. It's a hypothetical scenario, maybe 12 years old. This person never smoked, but started to let into his life the wrong people in school, hanging out with a specific individual for many hours during the week, and eventually that person who smoked influenced this young and innocent person to start smoking, to take a cigarette, and that person liked it, and then a week later they maybe smoked two or three cigarettes, and a month after that, four and five cigarettes, to the point where the person is addicted today. And maybe this hypothetical situation is you as a young person. Maybe it was a family member, or maybe it was somebody at school that you were close to that influenced you to maybe start smoking. You know, we've heard the axiom, and it holds true. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future.
Amen.
Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Tonight's reading is from 2 John, it's one chapter, verses 1 through 11. 2 John 1 through 11. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. Verse 4. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love. Verse 6. That we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Verse 7. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Let's look at verse 7 a little bit. In verse 7 he says, I say this. I say what? What he said in verses 5 and 6 about walking in obedience to his commands. He says that love is walking in obedience to God's commands. And he says, I say to you, there's many deceivers out there who might pretend that they're walking in obedience to God's commands. They pretend that they're walking and valuing God's truth. They may pretend that they value people, but they are deceiving. They are of the spirit of Antichrist. And there was a group that John was writing against in this letter called the Docetists. They believed in Jesus Christ, but they didn't believe that he literally took on human form. Any human form was just an illusion. They believed in Jesus Christ, but they did not believe that he became flesh. Any flesh was just an illusion. You know, denying that Jesus literally took on human form is like denying the incarnation, that God took on human form in the body of Christ. God became man in Jesus Christ. It's a central tenet of our theology. Would you agree here tonight?
Amen.
That Jesus was fully God and fully man. And he says in verse 7, as I said a few moments ago, he says that I'm talking to you about walking in obedience to his commands because there are some out there who are pretending maybe to walk in obedience to his commands, who are pretending to value the truth of God's word, who pretend to value others, but they're deceiving. They are of the spirit of Antichrist. They don't believe that Jesus literally took on human form, did not literally take on human flesh, that it was just an illusion. Verse 8, watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching that Jesus literally took on human form, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I want to look again at verses 10 and 11 of 2 John. Dear lady, if anyone does not bring this teaching of Jesus becoming flesh, do not take them into your house or welcome them by giving a friendly greeting, as if to say you approve of their heresy. If you welcome these people, these docetists, these people who deny that Jesus literally took on human form, you may be seen as others, you might be seen as by others as partaking in this heresy. We all believe as true followers of Jesus Christ that he literally took on human form. Amen?
Amen.
He literally became flesh. Amen?
Amen.
And because of that, he did his atoning work. So in verses 10 and 11, the thought of a house and welcoming into a house. I want to talk about that for a few moments. The thought of a house and welcoming someone into her house applies today. The house. Let's apply it. You may not have a literal house, but your house, figuratively, is your inner circle.
Amen.
That 1, 2, 3 people you are very close to. You may not have a house, literally, but you have an inner circle. That person that you are spending a lot of time with. You're eating with that person, maybe fishing with that person, pouring out your heart to that person, talking to that person hours a week. That person is in your house, in your inner circle. And maybe you never drank alcohol before. Maybe you are sober from drinking. And maybe recently, it's a hypothetical, maybe recently, or maybe it's real in your life, maybe recently somebody came to you, that person who's in your inner circle perhaps, and invited you to a party Saturday night where there was drinking, and you went to the party. And that person at the party influenced you to take a glass of alcohol, and you drank 3 or 4. And you got buzzed, you got drunk, and you liked it, and the next time comes along, and that person in your inner circle does what? They invite you again to that party on Saturday night, and you drink 5 or 6 glasses of alcohol, and you get drunk. You're drowning your sorrows in that alcohol. That person in your inner circle has done what? Has badly influenced you to start an addiction that you either overcame or never had before. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes.
Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. As your inner circle goes, so goes your life. Or maybe it's somebody who's in your inner circle that believes in Jesus Christ, right? Maybe it's somebody you have in your inner circle that you spend a lot of time with, and that person believes in Jesus Christ, but they also believe that as a Christian, you'll get a windfall of money. Or you'll get the greatest automobile, the latest automobile, the latest iPhone. It's like this person is sharing all the time, in this group are sharing with you that Christianity is like a ticket to fulfilling one's selfish desires, as if God is some type of divine Santa Claus. And that's not true. You know, Christianity, if you know the word, is not about selfishness. It's about what? Selflessness. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if anybody wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, herself, take up their cross daily and follow me. True Christianity is about dying to self. But if that person that you're spending a lot of time with says they're a Christian, but at the same time says that Christianity is a ticket to getting material things and achieving the American dream, you need to be aware and cautious and maybe nicely dismiss that person from your house, from your inner circle, and close the door. And find somebody who is standing firm on the tenets of God's word. Amen?
Amen.
What does Paul write in 1 Corinthians 15:33? He quotes from a Greek poet called Menander, and he says, "Do not be misled." 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Bad company corrupts good character." Bad company corrupts good character. It's like a discourse on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. You ought to read it. There were some saying that there was no resurrection from the dead. And he was saying, you know what? Don't be misled. Bad company, those bad people, will corrupt good character. He was referencing some who were saying there was no resurrection of the dead. So, you know, if you've got some of those bad characters in your life, some of those people that are influencing you in the wrong way to do and say things you shouldn't say or do, you need to nicely dismiss them from your house, from your inner group, from your inner circle. You know, in my life personally, years ago, there was a certain individual in my life, in my inner circle, that I spent a lot of time talking with, And this individual was a worrywart. He worried about everything. He worried about his health. And he worried about the economy. And he worried about the banks going down. And he always talked about it. And pretty much was negatively influencing me to the point where I was starting to worry about the very same things he was worrying about. And you know, years ago, I just had to nicely kind of dismiss him from my house, from my inner circle, and kind of shut the door. And I was telling my wife recently, I was like, you know, the things he was influencing me to be concerned about, to worry about, it's like I don't worry about those things any longer because he's no longer in my house, no longer in my circle. So my question tonight to you is this: who is in your inner circle? Are they influencing you to do wrong and say wrong? Or do you have in your inner circle those who are serious about Jesus Christ? My question tonight to you is this: are you serious about growing in your walk with God and deepening your relationship with Jesus? Let me ask it again. Are you serious about growing in your walk with God and deepening your relationship with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Have you put faith in Jesus?
Yes.
Do you want to make him Lord, ruler more and more over every part of your life every day?
Yes.
Do you want to become a more committed, devout follower of Jesus Christ, God the Son?
Yes.
All right, shout it out, yes. Then you have got to have like-minded people in your house, in your inner circle.
Amen.
That one, two, or three people that you're spending a lot of time with are people who are serious, should be people who are serious about God and committed to becoming more dedicated followers of Jesus Christ. As your inner circle goes, that person, two people, three people, that you're spending a lot of time with, as your inner circle goes, so goes your life.
That's right.
Show me your friends, the ones that you're closest to, that you spend the most time with, and I will show you your future. Are you serious about your walk with God?
Yes.
Are you committed to growing closer to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then find like-minded people to invite into your house, into your inner circle. I think the best example in Scripture of one who had a fully Christ-focused inner group was Jesus himself. I think the best example in the scripture, in the Bible, of one who had a fully Christ-focused inner circle was Jesus Christ himself. Now, Jesus had 12 disciples, right? One went astray. He rebelled. But of his 12 disciples, his inner group was made up of whom? The three. The closest ones to him were Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on special occasions where the other nine were not. For instance, Matthew chapter 26. If you got a Bible there, you can turn, or I'll just read it to you. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 and 37. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane and said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Peter, James, and John were with him in the garden. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Verse 51. Remember Jairus? You remember Jairus? Synagogue ruler, right? And his daughter was sick. She had died. And in Luke 8:51, when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James. Or Peter, James, and John. And the child's father and mother. And then he raised that dead girl back to life. At the transfiguration, next chapter over, Luke chapter 9. At the transfiguration, about 8 days later, Luke 9, 28, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. He was transfigured. Who were the three closest to Jesus? Peter, James, and John. They were his inner circle. Now, if you say that you follow Jesus Christ, then Jesus ought to be your role model in every area of life. If you say that you follow Jesus Christ, he needs to be your role model. And just as Jesus had a very Christ-focused and centered inner group, Peter, James, and John, you need to find that Peter, James, and John to be part of your house, to be part of your inner circle. If you follow Jesus and he is your role model, just like Jesus had an inner group of three, those closest to him, you have to have an inner group in your house that are focused on Jesus Christ. If you want to grow in your walk with Jesus, you've got to have Christ-centered and focused people that you are spending time with on a daily and weekly basis.
That's right.
If you're hanging out with people that every other word is a four-letter word, guess what? You may start adopting that type of language. I don't want to be there. How about you? If you're hanging out with people that are always drinking and getting drunk, you may start doing the same thing. But if you're hanging around people that love Jesus and are talking about Jesus and are talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ saved their soul, then guess what? You'll start talking and thinking in the same way. If Jesus Christ, you call him Lord, he wants to be Lord over your relationships. Are your relationships, those in your house, in your inner group of the world, doing the things that the world does? Or are they doing the things God does, that Jesus did when he walked this earth 2,000 years ago? Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes.
Jesus had an inner group. We're his followers. We have to have a Christ-centered inner group. So practical steps on finding the right people to be in your inner circle, in your house. What are some of the practical steps to finding the right people to be in your inner circle? That person, two people, three people. What are some practical steps? First, you got to pray. Cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I need your help in finding those Christ-centered people that are following your word to be in my house, in my inner group. He says in Philippians 4:6, Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Say, God, I can't do this on my own, but God, I pray that you lead me to the right people, God, that love you, that love your son, Jesus Christ, that are excited about talking about Jesus, that are excited about getting into your word and studying it. So you got to pray to God. Number two, you've got to frequent the places where good, godly Christians can be found. If you're in the wrong places where the world is hanging out, you're not going to be able to find those Christ-centered people. You've got to frequent places where godly people, serious Christians, can be found, which would be like a weekly church service or visiting small group Bible studies within that church, testing the water in those Bible studies. And third, you've got to know the scripture so that you can discern if the person you are thinking about inviting in is believing errant theology or not. How do you discern what is counterfeit? How do you discern a counterfeit $20 bill? By knowing the real $20 bill, right? So, I've got a $20 bill here. You put it up to the light, right? And a real $20 bill, a distinguishing mark of it is that on the right side, as you put it under light, it has a watermark, like a replica on this side of Andrew Jackson's face. That's a real $20 bill. I put it up in the light. And here's that watermark, that replica right here of Andrew Jackson's face, right? So that's a real $20 bill. I would know, you would know a counterfeit $20 bill because when you put it up in the light, if there's no watermark, it's not genuine, it's not real. So you know what? You know the counterfeit by knowing the real. So you can discern counterfeit belief and those who are going astray in their beliefs and in their walks by knowing the truth, by knowing the real, the Word of God, which you should be hiding in your heart, according to Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know the counterfeits by knowing the real. You've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to be studying the truth, what is real, this written Word of God. Not once in a blue moon. Not just at Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas three times a year. You've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. You've got to be in the real, in the genuine, in the Word of God, reading it for yourself on a consistent daily basis. Because it's only when you know the real, the genuine, the Word of God, that you will know counterfeit theology and people that are going astray in their walks and in their beliefs regarding God and Christianity. So, like the example I used a little bit earlier, if you're hanging out with somebody who says they believe in Jesus Christ, but they're talking about all the time how Christianity is a ticket to the latest vehicle, or the latest phone, or the latest this, that, or the other thing. Man, it's God just wants to bring just a windfall of money and things into your life. If you hear that, you're like, that's counterfeit. That's counterfeit thought, that's counterfeit theology, that's wrong, because that's not what the Word of God says. By knowing the real, you discern the counterfeit thought. Is that making sense here tonight? Amen. So, if you really want to discern who is a good Bible-believing person who is true to the Word of God and loves Jesus, you gotta back it up, put it up against the Word of God. Are they speaking? Are they thinking exactly what God has written in His Word, in the real and the genuine? And if they're not, if they're preaching an errant theology and are way off, you'll know that. You'll know that it's counterfeit because you know the real.
Amen.
You know that counterfeit $20 bill because you know the real $20 bill. Am I making sense here tonight?
Yes.
So you've got to find people that are hungry for God's word, diligent about studying God's word, and living and thinking according to God's word, the real thing, the genuine thing, this word. You know, if you're just listening to somebody preach once a week, and that's a good thing, you need to be in services. If you're just listening to somebody preach, but you're not getting into the Word of God yourself, then you're more susceptible to getting entrapped with the wrong people who are thinking counterfeit thoughts, who are thinking and speaking counterfeit, errant theology. So, the practical steps on finding the right people, the godly people, the Christ-centered people to be in your inner circle is to pray to God, cry out to God, say, God, I can't do this on my own, but you are a miracle-working God, and I know that you can lead me to the right people to be in my house, to be in my inner circle, that one, two, or three people that is serious about you, God, that is committed to Jesus Christ. And then you need to frequent. You've got to pick yourself up on Sunday mornings, and you've got to go to a church. You've got to pick yourself up and test the waters at maybe some small group Bible studies and talk to people. See if what they're saying and believing lines up with the real thing, the Word of God. And if it does, then hey, you might invite them into your house, into your inner circle. As your inner circle goes, so goes your life. You've got to be cautious. You've got to be very careful who you're spending a whole lot of time with. God has got somebody out there for you to be close to fish with, to spend time with, to eat with. But let God lead, guide, and direct you. And do what is practical. Like I said, going to churches, going to small group Bible studies, getting into the Word as a gauge to what is counterfeit. Is that good news here tonight?
Yes.
All right. Are you serious about your walk with God? Let me just state the question again tonight as we close. Are you serious about your walk with God?
Yes.
Are you committed to growing closer to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Do you want to share the gospel?
Yes.
Then invite into your house, your inner group, like-minded people.
Yes.
Welcome those people into your house. And tonight, if you've got somebody who is a bad influence, doing some bad things and saying some bad things, tonight is the night, today is the day to start kindly dismissing them from your house.
Amen.
And closing that door and opening it later to somebody who is really serious about God. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Amen?
Amen.
As you were listening tonight, you might be thinking, well, you know what? I've never even accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but tonight I want to do so for the first time. If you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight for the first time you want to do that, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody in the room? All right, maybe you accepted Jesus, but maybe you got upset with God. You got upset with God and you walked away from Jesus. If that's you tonight, you want to recommit your life to Jesus, you want to re-give your life to Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. I see those hands. Stand up. Stand up, please. Those who raise your hands. There's not another moment to waste because the next hour is not guaranteed you.
That's right.
If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be in heaven with God and with Jesus?
Yes.
If you want to follow their lead, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody else? You're just not quite sure deep down on the inside that your life is right with Christ, but you want to know. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. There's not another moment
to waste. Anybody else want to follow their lead? If God is whispering to you by his Holy Spirit, don't ignore his voice. Heed to the voice of the Spirit of God. Anybody else? All right, those standing up, come forward. Come forward. All right. Were you standing up in the back as well? Or you're what? If, okay. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. God is whispering to you by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking. In the next 5 minutes, they may forget about you. It's only what God thinks about you that matters. All right. Anybody else? All right. Those standing up here tonight, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. Jesus, I love you. Give me the strength to follow you the rest of the days of my life on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome back to God's family. All right. And those who recommitted your lives to Jesus tonight, there's certain things you can do to grow in your walk with Jesus. Getting into the Word, like we talked about, going to church services, right? And finding those right people, based on tonight's message, to be in your life that you're spending a lot of time with. Amen? Amen. May God richly bless you. Brother, do you want to come up and dismiss it?
Thank you very much, Brother Jonathan.
All right, guys.